Spy Catcher. A series of true stories of the unceasing search for enemy spies in water, based on the memoirs of Lieutenant Colonel Oreste Pinto of the Allied Counterintelligence Service. This week's story is entitled The Absent Friend. The part of Colonel Pinto is played by Bernard Archer.
In the autumn of 1944, the Arnhem disaster had slowed the Allied advance, and northeast Holland was still in German hands. It was certain now that the war would last through another winter, and hundreds of young men, mostly members of resistance groups, were breaking through the German lines to join the Allies. We called them line runners. And as they came through the lines as many as 60 a night, they were funneled to my headquarters, the Dutch counterintelligence mission at Eindhoven. As with the refugees and escapers to Britain, there was always the danger of spies being filtered through. And the nearer the front line, the greater the danger. German intelligence was now desperate for information, and every line runner, whatever his claim to loyalty, had to be searched and screened. As always, we began in the long common room of my headquarters by making a thorough examination of their personal belongings. Suspicion fell on a great number of spies because some item among their belongings aroused our interest and couldn't be satisfactorily explained.
Snap.
What did you say, Captain?
I said snap, sir. How many have you found?
15.
Well, I found 20 in my lot, sir. 25 guilder notes, all crisp and clean.
I have 15 all crisp and clean. They're in numerical sequence, too. Who owns your lot?
His name is Backhouse Flint.
Double-barreled and well off. Mine belong to, Sander R. I'll deal with those cases.
Right, sir.
How many line runners came through this morning?
About 40 of them, sir. They're from the province of Utrecht.
Seen any of them?
Yes, sir. I was there when they were searched.
Well, maybe some simple explanation for all this money, but I'd like to speak to someone we know we can trust before I deal with the owners.
I'd suggest Van Velsen, sir. He's one of the resistance leaders from Zeist. He brought his own group through last night.
I'll see him first.
Right, sir.
And keep your eye on this stuff.
Very good, sir.
Van Velsen, sir.
Well, come in. Sit down, please. Full name, please?
Peter Van Velsen.
Where do you come from?
Zeist, sir, in the province of Utrecht.
Occupation?
Garage owner, a local carrier.
When did you leave Zeist?
4 days ago.
Why did you leave?
Our town is in the front line now, sir. We did what we could and came through the line.
We?
My group, sir. I'm a leader of the resistance from Zeist.
You brought your group through the German line?
Yes, sir.
Did you have any trouble?
No, sir. We know the area well, and we crossed at night.
Did you see many Germans?
Yes. On the road, sir.
Defense positions?
No, sir. Only at the bridges. They're moving north on the roads.
Did you meet up with any other resistance groups, line running?
Not until Hertogenbosch. And we met up with two groups from Amersfoort.
You knew them?
Some of them, sir. The leaders and the couriers. We traveled with them to this camp.
About 40 of you arrived at the camp this morning. Do you know many of them?
Most of them, sir. They're resistance men.
Do you know the men from the area of Aimness?
Some of them, sir.
Backhoist Flint?
No, sir.
Thunder Art?
No, sir.
Do you know such names?
No, sir, but that doesn't mean very much. Perhaps one of the others would...
How many in this morning's group do you know? Or rather, how many are not known to you?
7 or 8. But as I say, that doesn't mean very much.
But you're known to most of them?
Yes, sir.
Well, now that you are through the line, what do you intend to do?
The young ones want to join the army, sir. Princess Irena Brigade. But I don't think they'll be much use to, sir. They need feeding. There hasn't been enough food in months. They haven't the stamina left for soldiering. By the time they've been rested and made fighting fit, the war will be over.
I hope so. And you?
Anything you say, sir. I'm a good mechanic and I can drive a vehicle. But I would like to go back to my garage when Zeist has been liberated.
I'll see that you do. Well, that's all for the moment. I'll see the rest of your group later.
Thank you, sir.
This way, please.
Well, Corporal, is that Hoist Splinter?
Yes, sir.
Right, send him in.
Back, Hoist Splinter.
Come in. Sit down, please. Name?
And Back Hoist Splinter.
Occupation?
Farmer.
Age?
37.
Religion?
Protestant.
Married?
No, sir.
Where are you from, or where do you farm?
In the province of Utrecht, sir. Near Amnes. About 4 miles from Amnes.
Large farm?
Oh, no, sir. 30 acres.
When did you leave your farm?
3 days ago. Tuesday morning, sir.
Why did you leave your farm?
Well, the war, sir. I've come to enlist in the Dutch army.
Utrecht is still occupied. Where did you pass through the German line?
The Viking, sir.
Did you have any trouble? Is the line thinly held there?
Well, it must be, sir. I had no trouble.
Did you see any German units in defensive position?
I saw Germans on the road, sir, north of the river. But they were not in defense positions, just moving on the road.
Did you see any defense position?
No. Just my farm, sir. My farmhouse and the barns were taken over by the Germans on Tuesday morning. That's why I ran off.
Which German unit took your farm, do you know?
I don't know, sir. But it's artillery. 3 large guns and, about 30 men. But I don't know which unit. And they drove in before I was awake, started digging places for the guns and searching my buildings. So I ran off.
I see. Tell me, why were you carrying so much money with you?
Well, it's my life savings, sir.
Now, the Germans come before you're awake. They begin to search your buildings. Very rightly, you take your life savings and you run off.
Yes, sir.
But you can't have been saving for very long, can you?
What do you mean, sir?
Well, the notes are all so new and clean.
Oh, but I took good care of them, sir. You see, it's all I have. They're in my wallet.
Now, that's not what I mean. You're a small farmer. This is your life savings. Yet all the notes are new and clean, and they're also in numerical order. How could that happen?
Oh, I didn't keep my savings under the mattress, if that's what you think, sir. I'm not that sort of man. I know what they say about small farmers, but, well, I'm honest. Before the war, I was doing very well. I banked my money.
Go on.
Well, when the Germans came to my farm, I told them I had some business in town.
Where?
Amos.
The Germans are still in England. Are the banks open for business?
Oh, yes, sir. I drew all my savings from the bank that morning and ran off and came here.
How did you travel?
Well, the Germans wouldn't let me take my cart, sir. I traveled on foot.
Alone?
Yes, sir.
Didn't you travel with the resistance group?
No, sir. But I helped the resistance. I worked with them.
Well, there are resistance men here from your province, some of them from Amiens. Why didn't you travel with them?
Well, I didn't know about that, sir. I wasn't in a group. I worked on my own and did what I could to help.
What kind of help?
Supplying food, sir. Well, they always came to a farmer for food. And if someone was to be hidden, I helped. I once hid an English airman for 3 weeks.
Oh? What was his name?
Well, I didn't know that, sir. But he was young. I think he was a fighter pilot.
What happened to him?
Unfortunately, I don't know, sir. One night, 2 men of the resistance came and took him away. I just did my bit, which was hiding him on the farm.
And when the resistance men left Amnes, they didn't tell you?
No, sir. My farm's some miles away. When the Germans took my farm, I just drew my savings and left.
What other work did you do for the resistance?
Well, mostly on the railway line, sir. The line from Amsterdam to Arnhem runs near my farm.
Mm-hmm. What did you do?
Oh, nothing really important, sir. That night, when it was dark, I'd go down to the railway line. And if there were no guards about, I'd loosen 2 or 3 sleepers and try to derail the next train.
Did you succeed? Did you ever derail a train?
Yes, once, sir. A small goods train. I did this on the embankment, sir, and it went over the edge.
Good. And the other time?
Well, it sometimes caused delays. They would find the damaged place and have to repair the line. Oh, and I supplied the resistance with food, sir, when I could. And sometimes they had meetings at my farm. And sometimes I hid them there at night.
Can you tell me their names?
No, sir.
Why not?
Well, They were Utrecht men, sir. We never asked names. It was safer. What you don't know, you can't tell, can you?
But you know them by sight.
Oh, yes, sir.
You came to Eindhoven today with about 40 other line runners. Many of them from Utrecht, some of them from Ames. Do you know any of them?
No, sir. There are none there that I worked with.
Are you sure? None that you know?
No, sir.
Thank you. Now, that'll be all for the moment.
Thank you, sir. Can I have my money, sir?
Not yet. Look after Mr. Backhoist, Flint, and send in Van der Aar. Come in. Sit down, please.
Thank you, sir.
Cigarette?
Oh, thank you, sir. They are not easy to get under German occupation.
Name?
Van der Aar, sir.
Age?
35, sir.
Religion?
Protestant.
Where do you live?
A village near Emnet, sir.
You married?
Yes, sir.
Names and ages of your family?
My wife is Maria, sir. She is aged 33. My son is Jan, aged 8. And my daughter is little Maria, aged 6.
Mm-hmm. Occupation?
I was a clerk, sir, in the grain store in my village.
When did you leave your village?
4 days ago, sir.
Why did you leave?
The war? I talked about it with my wife, and I came here to join the Princess Irena Brigade.
As you know, it may only be a matter of some weeks until we liberate the north of Holland.
Yes, sir.
So, do you think it was wise to leave your family at this late time and to risk your life coming through the German lines?
Well, you see, sir, a man of my age must do something for this country. I was a clerk in a little village. I've done little enough. And I talked about this to my wife, sir. I told her that it would all be over soon. And so I've come to join the Princess Irena. I know it is late, sir, but I want to help in the liberation of my country. Then I will return to my village.
Yes. Now, you say you've done little enough. What little have you done?
What little I could do, sir.
For the resistance?
Yes, sir.
There was a resistance group near you at Ames. Did you know them?
Oh, yes, sir. I helped them.
In what way?
Well, you see, sir, my house is near the railway, and I would sit at my window and count the German trains that passed. I'd make notes about them. How many ammunition trains, how many wagons, how many troop trains, and pass this on to my leader. As you see, sir, it wasn't very brave, and it wasn't very dangerous, but they said it was important.
Do you know the names of the resistance leaders in your area?
Yes, sir. They're good men. Heroes.
Can you name them for me?
Yes, sir. Baron den Heysen, he is a great patriot.
Mm-hmm.
And Der Beck, Sanders, Flex, Skoit, Roloff, brave leader, sir.
Yes. Now, you say you've been watching the German train movement. Do you know what happened to this information that you passed on? What use was made of it?
No, I don't know, sir. I suppose my leader passed it on to other groups further down the railway line, and it may have been used there, but I don't know. I was only a clerk, and they used me as a clerk.
Who did you say your leaders were?
Baron den Heysen, sir, and Der Beck, and Sanders, and Skoit, and Roloff.
Hmm. So you finished with being a clerk, although a useful one, left your family behind, and came to enlist in the Princess Irena Brigade.
Yes, sir.
Why did you bring so much money with you?
Sir?
This money. You were only a clerk. You were leaving your family to fend for themselves. Did you feel that you had to bring so much money?
Oh, no, sir. I didn't deprive my family of it.
Didn't you? They're brand new notes, crisp and clean.
Well, I'll tell you about that, sir. I took them. I suppose you might call it stealing, sir, but I don't. I just took them.
From whom?
A butcher in our village, sir. A collaborator. When I made up my mind to leave and said goodbye to my wife, I wasn't going to let him get away with it. He's been playing along with the Germans all the time. When we were starving, his shop always had plenty of meat, but a price that only traitors could afford.
Well,
now it was my turn. I left home late that night, sir, and I knew what I was doing. I broke into his place in the early morning, and I took what was there.
Which morning?
Early on Tuesday morning, sir. But it wasn't stealing.
Did someone help you to break in?
No, sir.
I need to ask you a question. I want you to consider it very carefully before answering. And then answer me with the truth.
Yes, sir.
Did someone else help you to do this? And did you share the money with him?
There is no need to think carefully, sir. I was on my own. I kept what I took. And that's why it may seem a lot for a clerk to have.
All right. Now, you came to this post today with other line runners, about 40 of them.
Yes, sir.
Do you know any of them?
No, sir.
Many of them are from your province of Utrecht. Some of them are from England. Do you know any of them?
No, sir.
I don't mean do you know them by name. Do you know any of them by sight? Do you know their faces?
Well, some of them I may have seen before, sir. I seem to know some of the faces, but I don't know their names.
Is there any one of them that you know well?
No, sir.
Any one of them that you've met recently?
No, sir.
Any one of them that you've had dealings with?
No, sir.
Who were the leaders you said you knew?
Well, I knew them only by name, sir. By reputation, everyone does.
What were their names?
Baron den Heisen. Everyone has heard of him, sir. Der Beck, Sanders, Skoit, Roloff.
Thank you, Mr. Van der Aar. That will be all for the moment. I dismissed Van der Aar and sent for my assistant, Captain Lager. Both men had told reasonable stories and had accounted for their possession of the money, but there were now two points still to be explained.
You want me, sir?
Yes, sir. Come in, Captain.
Any luck, sir?
Yes, I've seen both the men, and their stories are quite good. This, it would seem, is the life savings of Mr. Backhoist Flint, an old farmer. He farms near the town of Ames. He drew it from the bank at Ames 4 days ago when he ran off to join us. Hence, the notes are clean and in numerical order.
See.
Now, this is the property of Mr. Van der Aar, clerk in a grain store in a village near Ames. He also left 4 days ago. He's not so wealthy as a farmer, and he confesses that he took the money. He stole it in order to finance his journey from a collaborator, a local butcher. Just have a look at them.
Right, sir.
You notice that not only is each batch in numerical order, but the serial numbers of both lots of notes run in one unbroken sequence.
Hmm.
As though they'd been drawn from a bank at the same time.
That's interesting.
Yes, but it isn't necessarily strange. The farmer drew that lot and ran off to join us. The local butcher drew that other lot and was robbed. But it is strange that both lots turn up at this post at the same time.
Well, a lot of men arrived from that area today, sir. The resistance men say the Germans are digging in there and the lads are getting out. They all came here.
Yes, I know. I was thinking of that. And this pair are the only two in the batch who don't know any of the others. I was wondering which German officer was financing his spies from a batch of brand new banknotes. Let me have another look at them. Thank you. That's strange.
Do the two men know each other, sir?
No, they insist they don't.
Well, if their stories are true, sir, the money is accounted for.
Life saving and the theft.
Could be, sir.
Let's take point number two. I asked Van der Aar to name the resistance leaders in the north, and he named them as follows. Baron den Heisen, Herr Beck, Fleck, Sanders, Skoit, Roloff.
Fleck, sir? That's strange.
Isn't it? Later I asked him to repeat the name, and he omitted Fleck. At the end of the interview, I asked him again, and he omitted Fleck.
What made him do that?
I'm going to find out. I want you to take back Hoist Flint to the observation room. When he's safely there, I want Van der Aar taken to the adjoining room and kept there under guard until I arrive.
Do you think they do know each other, sir?
I'm going to try to prove it. Now, what I want you to do is this. It was a simple plan, and I thought it might save us a great deal of trouble. While Captain Davis was setting the trap, I went to the little room where Fander R., the clerk, was under guard.
Captain Davis?
Hello, Mr. Fander R.
Yes, sir?
I was thinking about your resistance work, and I wonder if you would agree to help me.
If I can, sir. What do you want me to do?
One of the men who arrived this morning, we think he's not a genuine resistance man.
I told you, sir, I don't know any of them, not any that I saw.
No, but your experience can help. Come over here. There's a peephole here, and there's a man sitting in the room next door. Just look through the peephole and tell me if you recognize him. His name is Backhoist Flint, and he lives quite near you. Go on.
All right, sir. No. No, I don't know him.
Can you see him quite clearly?
Yes, sir. I don't recognize him. Is he from my district?
Well, he says he is. You've never seen him before?
I saw him this morning when I arrived. But not before that.
50 years. Well, I tell you what, let's go into that room together and I'll ask him a few questions about the resistance. I want you to listen to his answers, and afterwards you can tell me if you think he's genuine.
All right, sir.
Back, Miss Flint.
Yes, sir.
This is a friend of mine, Mr. Panda R. He lived near you at Amos. I want him to hear your story. Please sit down.
Yes.
Now, this railway that you claim to have done sabotage on, where was it?
It was near my farm, sir. It's the line from Amsterdam to Arnhem.
This is the one you watched from your window, Mr. Fender R?
Yes, sir.
All right, back, Westland. Let's hear the story of the railway.
It runs near my farm, sir. And I would go down there at night. Not very often. I told you that, sir. It was only when it was dark and there were no Germans. I had a crowbar hidden near the embankment, a large one. And when I had a chance, I would loosen some of the sleepers.
You say you derailed a train?
Yes, sir, but it was not important. I told you that.
Go on.
I loosened some sleepers, and then I waited until it was dark. And
charge! Halt! When you're fixed,
so, you are Flex. It's a pity your friend Vander R here. Let's slip that name. It's on our list of collaborators.
We are not friends.
I tell you, I have never seen this man before.
But he is Flex, the collaborator. And if you are not friends, can either of you explain this? Do you have the money, Captain?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. You two men really should have compared notes before you came to spy. And I mean these notes. Whoever paid you to come to spy was very careless with your life. He paid you from the same bundle of new notes. Didn't he? And he paid you the wrong way around. I'll explain. He must have paid you, Backhoist Flint. Or do I call you Flex? He must have paid you first with this batch of notes and told you to say, if questioned by someone like me, that you drew them from the bank at Amos on Tuesday morning. And then he paid you, Fander R, and told you to say, if questioned, that you stole the money from the shop of the collaborator on Monday night or early Tuesday morning. How careless of him. Early on Tuesday morning, when it was still dark, as you said, the bank wouldn't be open. And Backhoist Flint had not yet drawn his
so-called life savings. So how could you have stolen this higher sequence of numbers? Tell me, who was this careless German who paid you the wrong way around? He let you both down. I think you ought to tell me his name. Pander R. and Flex, alias Back Hoistlint, were sent back to base for trial. The war moved on, and I never heard what happened. It should have been a heavy sentence, for they both tried to sell their country for £100 in clean, crisp notes.
You've been listening to Spycatcher, with Bernard Archard as Colonel Oreste Pinto. The script was written by Robert Barr, and the program produced for the BBC by Charles Maxwell.